It's that time again for the Canvas TLDR podcast. I'm Matt Goodwin with product.
I'm Jen Mitchell with K-12 product marketing.
I'm Ryan Lufkin with higher ed product marketing.
We're here to share the latest and greatest in Canvas.
We're talking about the why in what we build, because Canvas can.
Welcome to the September episode, everybody, of the Canvas TLDR podcast.
Wait, it's September already?
We've made it to September 2020, everyone.
Yeah. We've got a great episode this month. We're going to be covering some product updates, by way of Canvas quick reports. We'll get into that with Oksana and talk a little bit more about what that means. Rich content editor updates with Peyton and his team. So stay tuned for that. What else do we have?
Some great partner stuff. We've got an announcement with Dropbox, and we'll be talking a little bit about Unsplash and some great content from them that's come out recently.
Yeah, and then we're joined by the Center for Leadership and Learning to learn a little bit more about their offerings. And then we'll also be joined by the team for CanvasCon Online, which, believe it or not, is coming up in just a few weeks.
So close.
So close. It's going to be a good one. Buckle up, everybody. Let's go.
Here we go.
We want to welcome Oksana to our show. Welcome, Oksana. She's one of our fantastic product managers who's been here for quite a while, and she's going to help us talk about Quick Reports, which we've recently developed. Her team has recently developed and released into production.
And we're super excited about this. Of course, Quick Reports is a big deal. So we've been working on this for a little bit, but tell us more about it.
Yeah, so Quick Reports. It's pretty much all about reports in Quick Reports. We have analytics tool, and right now the tool actually is working at the course level only. It's the new analytics offering we just rolled out a few months ago. So if you have one of those tools, you would be able to find reports as one additional tab. If you go to the reports, you will see as a part of the first rollout, we have about 5 different reports, and one of them is actually a highly sought report, is course activity. So what can you find in course activity? Everything that your students have been doing in the past 24 hours. So it's all about the page views, participation, and also some data related to their participation. So you will find the name of the student, the section, type of the content they accessed, times they accessed it, we call it viewed, and times they participated. We do have a list of specific activities we count as participations. There are about 5 of them. Some examples: participated in a discussion, submitted an assignment, submitted a quiz, all counts as a participation. And when a student gets participated in an activity, we don't count it as a view. We just contributed to the participation. So anyways, we have a bunch of cool material about the participation and page views in our community, so you guys can definitely leverage that. But the report itself has about 24 hours latency, so you can only see data for the previous date. You can't run it up to a current moment. And you can go up to 27 days in the past to get the data.
This is awesome, because this addresses one of the biggest challenges, I think, as we've shifted to online learning predominantly, right? A lot of educators really find it hard to see if their students are engaged, if they're how engaged they are in the course, right? And then just to recap, so the 5 different reports, right, are missing assignments, late assignments, excused assignments, and the class roster, and then the course activity, which is the roll-up of all those actions, right?
Correct, yes. So the course activity report will give you, again, the list of all of the students that participated or viewed course content within the 24-hour period, and you can run it for multiple days. And when you run the report, it will just export it in the basic CSV format. So you can view it in Excel or Sheets, anywhere you feel comfortable viewing it.
So this is awesome. Like, yeah. I know people are always asking for data, more data. Jen and Ryan and even Oksana, you know, in higher ed, how are people viewing or asking for data versus in K-12? Like, what's exciting specific to the K-12 arena or higher ed arena with the reports that we've now put out?
So I think in K-12, one really hard thing is we know how to measure synchronous attendance, right? If a student's all on a Zoom call, that's easy to gauge. But with students now having to log in at different times during the day and share devices, is how do you determine that asynchronous attendance for a day? And this is a piece of that puzzle that helps teachers do that, to see how they're engaging, you know, however they determine attendance, they can see these activities and combine it with some other factors to say if a student was really attending asynchronously.
Yeah, and attendance has always been, you know, at every level, higher ed, attendance has always been one of those factors to measure how involved is a student, are they showing up to class? And so this is huge, because I think it gives people a lot of insight. It just feels like there's this void. We've moved online, you're not seeing people in person. In that asynchronous environment, like Jen's talking about, it's just harder to know how active students are being. And so any little data point like this is super helpful. And I think it's one of the reasons I'm pretty excited about it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's like one of those beneficial little nuggets. It wasn't like, this isn't targeted specifically at attendance. This is not an attendance tool, right? This is activity and participation. But I like what you said, Jen, this is one piece of the puzzle in helping determine attendance, but you know, true engagement and participation have always been a question on the minds of instructors and professors that I've spoken to, right? Like, I just don't know how engaged my student is, if they're even trying to participate, and who to reach out to, you know, encourage them to participate. I think this is actually kind of cool too, because you know, Oksana mentioned this is, you know, it's like a rolling 27 days worth of data. I can now look at, well, when are people logging in to do the bulk of their material and assignments? And it could, as a course author, help inform when I should be targeting specific types of activities or events around those participation patterns. That's kind of cool.
And one of the things I love about this too is it's one of these innovations that came out of this, out of the spring sudden shift with the COVID crisis. Our team has been responsive in so many cool ways, and this is just one more of those innovations that was sparked by the necessity. But this is available to everybody right now, right, Oksana? I mean, what do you have to do to get these course quick reports?
Yeah, so it's coming out on September 19th to production. And you actually have to have new analytics installed in your account and available in a course. So if you don't have it, just request. You have to submit the request to CSM, I believe. And we will turn it on.
And then 24 hours for that data to build, right?
Yes, it takes 24 hours for us to collect all of your Canvas data and process it and deliver it to you in the tool.
So, you know, for those listeners out there, if you're a teacher or somebody that's, you know, not an admin at your institution, you'll probably need to reach out to your admin to say, I want this, please make this available. And they would contact their CSM and on the instructor side, and they would be able to install it for that account. Is that right, Oksana?
Yeah, I believe we actually recently introduced a flag in Canvas as well, where you can request yourself as an admin to turn it on at the account. And then we look at all of the requests and run a specific process to install all of those tools.
So Oksana's super awesome at her job, and she always, she is. Like,
you know, she absolutely is.
She's great. And she,
she's tired of hearing from me on data and analytics and anything.
She's super involved with accounts that help shape these types of features and requests and that sort of thing. I'm just interested to hear from Oksana about, you know, what have you been hearing or seeing from those that have been involved kind of at the alpha testing phase of this. What are customers saying, and what value are they seeing?
Yeah, so I'll give you a little bit of a background where the request came from, how we went about it. So about 9 months ago, when COVID hit our borders, we all went online, and there was a huge need for all organizations, K-12 and higher ed, to see that activity online in some shape or form, asynchronous activity. So we delivered about, I think, April 2020, we delivered account level report where you could actually see across all of your departments activity, daily activity. And that was a lot of data. So customers loved it, but it would take an admin and sometimes data scientists to just run and crunch the numbers and figure stuff out based on the amount of data. Then the summer came and we started looking at the ways of minimizing the data and targeting specific audience. And those were instructors, faculty, teachers. So we created a course level report with the same intent. If you are tracking attendance, if you have any financial aid requirements that depend on the participation or any type of student engagement reporting that you're looking for, that is the data for you to use. We do have some customers coming back saying, well, for my attendance use case, I would prefer to know who is not attending that day. So could I just get a list of who did not participate? And we actually are looking in our next roadmap milestone to deliver something like zero activity where you can just run it and get who did not do anything that day. But with this course activity report, we felt like we could close all of those use cases. So it was just a broader data covering majority of the requests.
Well, cool. We'll include a link to some documentation on how to download it, how to actually, if you don't have access to it or new analytics, and include that below. But I feel like this is going to continue to evolve and grow, and you will be back on the show, Oksana, like it or not, to tell us more about this in the future.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to brag about my product.
She's also very good at that. And rightfully so. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
I would like to welcome Peyton Craighill to the program. He's from our product team, and he's going to talk a little bit about updates to the Rich Content Editor. Welcome, Peyton.
Welcome back, Peyton.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Awesome.
Tell us all about, we've made some changes to Rich Content Editor.
Yeah, so we've been working on the new Rich Content Editor for the last couple of months, ironing out some usability issues. And that's been sort of our primary focus over the summer and going into this fall before we force this puppy on next year.
Yeah, so what's the cool new stuff?
Yeah, what were the usability issues and how did you guys become aware that they were issues?
So it didn't take a whole lot of imagination to see some of the issues that that we were having. So we had some things like LTIs that were just sort of underemphasized in the new RCE just a few months ago. It turns out, I don't know if you guys know this, LTIs get used a lot inside of Canvas, and they're actually super important to our platform. So we had issues where at anything less than sort of a full width Canvas window, LTI tools were getting truncated into an overflow menu. And that means that those tools are harder to access. So that's like an example of needing to sort of tweak the toolbar to make sort of the most important tools accessible at sort of common viewports for Canvas, if that makes some sense.
So I know that one common avenue for feedback is obviously the community or in conversations with some of our users. Something that may be a little less obvious and something I love is I remember when you kind of dug into this project and you were looking for those opportunities, you actually did some click count comparisons between current RCE and old RCE and said, well, this isn't going to work, right? And went back and kind of took those most commonly used paths through the RCE and did those click counts. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, what did you discover? What
was really bad? Yeah, so in the old RCE, we had this sidebar, which was always open in the browser view. And one of the problems with having sidebars, which Canvas uses a lot, is that they're not super friendly for smaller screens. And so we tucked all of the functionality that was in the sidebar before. So things like links to course contents, photos from your course, videos from your course, that sort of thing. All this stuff was in a sidebar before. We tucked it into sort of a slide-out tray. And that helps with sort of smaller screens and making things more responsive. But when it came time to, say, add two consecutive links to course content, we went from 3 clicks in the old RCE to 8 clicks in the new RCE. And so we've had to sort of look at some of these common flows that are technically working. It's just that they're not fun to use at all, and sort of smooth those things out. So like one of the things that we've done for this new slide out menu is to maintain its state so that when it pops out and you say, I want to select an assignment and it goes away, if you open it again, it's going to open in exactly the same state that you were in before. So that's just like we're sort of trimming clicks away as we move, and eventually we'll get to a state where we can sort of keep that sidebar out as long as a person wants it out, and get rid of it when they don't need it, so that it's not sort of disappearing every single time a successful interaction happens. But it's sort of those like. It's sort of the clickiness and some toolbar weirdness that we've been sort of ironing out with feedback and
nobody likes toolbar weirdness.
Yeah. At least I don't. It's not my jam.
Well, I did like that. I mean it looked a lot better that first round that we did. No question about it. But the usability, like you mentioned, that's nobody cares if it looks great if you can't use it very well. Right. So I'm super happy to see this iteration where you guys have trimmed down some of those patterns. That's awesome.
And it sounds like kind of an ongoing process as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we're asking anybody that will listen to give us additional feedback as we go. At this point, we're fixing bugs as fast or faster than they're coming in. So if you experience any issues using the new RCE, you got to let us know and we'll get to it quickly.
So where are you collecting this feedback? Is there a spot in the community for that?
Yep. So I don't know. So there are several avenues you could use. You could send a ticket into our support team. That typically works. If you're feeling unsuccessful with that, you can go and respond to my posts in the community talking about sort of active development. And I will see those as well. So you feel free to take either of those routes.
And we'll grab a link to that community page and post it in the show notes below here on the podcast site. So
nice.
Hopefully you get a flurry of responses.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we've got a couple of additional things that we're working on over the next few weeks. One is making math more accessible inside of the RCE. So the way that math is handled in Canvas today is basically we have a math equation editor that generates an image with alt text that describes the equation. And that stinks for a couple of reasons. One of which is that like the image with alt text isn't like the most accessible way to do math these days. But the other thing is, you really can't manipulate a math equation. You can't really like copy and paste it in the way that you would want to sort of use it. And so we've changed the way that we're rendering math equations to make it, to bring it into 2020, so to speak. So we're excited about that.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the other thing is we're working on ways to make the RCE sort of extendable outside of core Canvas. So things like, I don't know, new quizzes could make use of the new RCE. And basically the benefit that we get out of that is essentially like, if everybody's using the same editor, you have a better chance of content looking similar across the platform. And so making the RCE sort of extensible in that way is something that we're also working on.
Fantastic.
All right. Well,
thanks for joining us this week. Thanks for coming back.
Peyton, you've been our victim multiple times. So.
Yeah. No, it's a pleasure. It's great to talk to you guys.
All right. So for this segment, we're going to be talking a little bit about Dropbox. Again, another example of a great partner that does some really cool things. It's amazing that we've got all of these great partners that, you know, some are very focused on education. Others serve a wide myriad of different populations, but they all care about education. And this is a great example of somebody that serves a myriad of different industries and use cases, but has some special attention given towards their integration with Canvas.
Yeah, and Dropbox specifically, you know, wanted to make sure that the integration was seamless with Canvas, that it really focused on reducing the need for students to jump between apps. It really streamlines the assignment submission process. It helps improve student collaboration by sharing files and things like that. And different educators use different tools in their classroom, and this is just one more tool to choose from with that really tight integration. We've announced a few of those lately.
For professors, it's really cool. Professors and faculty, it's just a really good way to manage all your course content in one place. It kind of streamlined that sharing.
Yeah, which I think in this kind of educational structure that we're in right now, where everything's online and everybody's got content everywhere, things like this help save a tremendous amount of time for both students and teachers, I think.
Yeah.
Tons of benefit here.
Well, a lot of educators are used to using different tools, and if we can empower them by using tools they're already familiar with, then that's what we're all about.
Awesome. Well, that's exciting news.
Yeah, so we'll include a link in the show notes, and you can actually, there's a great little video and some additional information on how you can integrate Dropbox directly into Canvas.
So in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about one of our partners. I think it's also a good reminder that, you know, we realize at Canvas as an LMS, we're a hub, and that's totally fine. There's no way that we can cover all the needs of an edu ecosystem out there for our schools. And so while we provide that platform and that kind of center location for the educational ecosystem within an account or a school, we do rely on tremendous partners that have great features, great content in helping our institutions accomplish their educational goals. One of those is Unsplash. We've been working with them for almost 2 years with deep integration and the cool sets of tools that they provide by integrating directly into our rich content editor and other places throughout Canvas. They're doing some cool stuff right now. Ryan, Jen, why don't you tell us a little bit more about what they've got going on?
Yeah. I mean, I think they've really evolved. If you haven't been in Unsplash, it's available, you know, integrated directly into the rich content editor. But they've really been working on expanding their set of royalty-free images. I think this evolved from partners in the past that were a little less desirable for the higher education space based on their content. And these guys have really focused on content that supports teaching at every level of education, right?
Yeah, and I think that's really important for our K-12 audience out there, is all of these Unsplash images are safe for all of our students to search and use in their presentations.
Yeah.
They're professional images, right? Like, these are professional curated images, high quality. You know, I remember when back in the day we had a deep integration with Flickr.
Yeah.
And anybody can upload to Flickr, which is fine. But there's a lot of safety issues. There's a lot of content, you know, material appropriateness issues.
Yeah, I wasn't going to call him out by name, Matt. I was beating around the bush there, but you just went right for it.
I think I think it's fine, right? Like each tool serves its own purpose. And we found a partner that really works well within education in Unsplash. I'm super impressed by the image quality and curation that they go through.
Well, and I think you're speaking to what you just said, you know, our focus is on openness and the availability to plug in whoever you want to use. But then we often partner with the best in breed to make that our default partner. And that's what we see with Unsplash. But one of the cool things is last month on the 57th anniversary of the March on Washington, we announced the release of a huge set of recolored images from that original March on Washington. And we can include the link to the press release below, but such an amazing thing to see those images recolored. And it's a totally different experience to see, you know, we're used to seeing those black and white images. You see them recolored and you realize just, you know, how, you know, brings them alive, I guess.
Yeah. If you haven't looked at them, they are really powerful. And I encourage everybody to check out the show notes and just click through those. They're quite stunning.
Yeah. And their goal really is to provide those resources to power your classrooms. As you're telling those stories, Unsplash probably has an image to support that. And so go check them out.
Awesome. Thanks.
Hi. We are welcoming Robin Lawrence for this section of the podcast. And we're talking about the Center for Leadership and Learning. We've talked about this before on the podcast a few times, but I think it's still new to everyone. And I think especially heading into this kind of uncertain year, I think we should talk a little bit more about what the Center for Leadership and Learning can do for our customers. So Robin, do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what the CLL is?
Sure. Hi. Hey, Jen. Hey, Ryan. I'm Robin Lawrence. I'm the director for the Center for Leadership and Learning here at Instructure. I came over with the Mastery Connect adoption and carried this forward from what we had been so successful with at Mastery Connect. So I'm super excited to be able to share more information about it today.
So who does this serve? Like, who does this focus on? Like, what are the offerings?
Sure. So we focus on school and district leaders, administrators. We're solely about helping to build capacity within leadership. We truly believe that any implementation requires leadership investment and ownership in order to be successful, right? That if we don't have school and district administrators actually being a critical part, owning the implementation within their school or district, that it's not going to be as successful. But we haven't had professional development that's truly for them, and focusing on the why, not just the how. So it's much more than what we would consider training.
So if I were a district leadership, or if I was a leader and I was to sign up for the CLL, what are the different offerings that you have right now?
Sure. So we focus on the platforms that we have at Instructure, the primary ones, right? Canvas and Mastery Connect. So for each of those, we offer institutes and then we have workshops. So regarding the institutes, and I'll focus on Mastery Connect right now, we offer the Mastery Connect, the virtual Mastery Connect Leadership Institute. So in the past, these were always on-site events. We would fly people in from all over the country, all over the world to participate. But obviously in this unique situation, we've had to stop that. And it doesn't look like we're going to be resuming and probably until halfway through next year, just because of, you know, being safe. So what we've done is we've taken that content, we've developed it to be virtual. So it's exactly what we've offered in the past with the same team, and actually ensuring that it's highly interactive and engaging as the on-sites always were in the past, but of course unique to this environment. But with the institutes, then they are obviously bought by the individual or by the seat, as we call it. So you could send one person, you could send, you know, 10 people, but that experience, you're meeting other leaders from all around the country and potentially all around the world, because we have had people attend from like Venezuela and other countries. So, very impactful in that experience, because you do get to network and get to learn from other leaders what they have been doing, what they've been struggling with, so on and so forth. But then oftentimes what happens is people attend and they are so impacted in a positive way that then they ask, how do we bring this to our district? We need all of our administrators to benefit from this professional development. We need to implement what you have taught us, and we want you to be the messenger and help us guide us through this. So we also offer workshops, which are the exact same content, again, with the exact same team, but then you buy it as a bundle for your district. We schedule that, coordinate the logistics with you, and it's solely people in within your school and or district that would attend. And we do that for both Canvas. So Canvas has its own institute and workshop, and then Mastery Connect has its own institute and workshop. So even if you have both, then you would very much benefit from attending both institutes or hosting both workshops, because they're not about integrating as much. They're more solely focusing on the why of each of those individual platforms and the power of each.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we have so many new customers right now that are trying to navigate this world of online learning. And what I really see it as is getting everybody on the same page. You know, you never want to give teachers a tool and just say, okay, use it, right? Like you need to, you as a leader, craft that vision.
Exactly.
So if I wanted to learn more about the Leadership Institute, where would I go? What would I do?
Sure. So go... Obviously, one, go to your sales representative, your client success manager, or go to our Center for Leadership and Learning landing page that you can find through, I think it's like other resources on the Instructure website. Go there, click on any of the information. It's just been refreshed and it's amazing. And then if you want to learn more, to be honest, click on one of those forms and fill it out. It's going to come straight to me. So you're not going to get.
They know exactly who they're going to get to talk to. That's
yes,
awesome.
Exactly. You will get to talk directly to me. I am not. I'm not sales. So I will just explain. I will send you other materials as you see fit. I'm happy to talk with you about it, and then point you in the right direction if you want to move forward. So we also try to offer these. We have one coming up in October. In November, and then we'll skip December because of the holidays and then pick up again in January. So we offer a minimum of about once a month.
Awesome. And we will include, we'll have producer Aaron Hallmark include a link down there in the show notes. So if you're watching this online, look down there for a link and you can connect directly with Robin on that.
Awesome.
All right, Robin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Thanks, Robin.
Well, look who it is. It's Jackie from Events here to give us some CanvasCon online updates. Hi, Jackie.
Hello, Jackie.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Well.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the show.
So believe it or not, CanvasCon online, we've been talking about this for several months, but it's actually almost upon us, right? It's October 15th. For people who are, you know, have questions about the new format or maybe haven't listened to the previous podcast, can you tell us a little bit about what to expect this year?
Absolutely. Well, you can expect the same InstructureCon amazingness, obviously, in a little bit of a new format this year. With everything going on in the world, you know, we're taking it virtual, but we're still creating that amazing experience. So this year, you can expect three different sections to our online event. We're going to kick things off with some amazing keynotes, both internal and external. If you haven't heard, we have LeVar Burton and Sal Khan.
Green rainbow.
Then we'll move into an amazing live portion of the event where we're going to meet with our community, meet with our friends. It's a big old family reunion. People will be able to see, talk to each other in virtual booth experiences, both on our partner side and our product side, as well as some regional meetings where we'll be able to interact with each other and Canvas employees. Then we're going to close everything off with our breakout sessions. We still have over 60 amazing breakouts done by our customers, our partners, and our own Canvas folks. And then we'll end the conference and everything will be on demand the following day. So we'll also have some really fun things happening in between there. We're going to give out some free swag. We'll have a selfie booth. We'll have some social stuff. So it'll be super interactive and a lot of fun.
I was going to say, I was on a video call with you yesterday and there were boxes and boxes and boxes of swag behind you. So I know all of our Canvas community loves their t-shirts and their swag, and they won't be disappointed this year.
Absolutely. We've got some great stuff.
Awesome. So you mentioned a few different sections. There's the keynotes, there's the community space, as well as breakout sessions. Obviously, we're not getting together live to do all of this stuff in person. Are the sessions live, or how does that work? What can people expect?
Great question, Matt. It'll be a combination. So we are going to, our breakouts will be pre-recorded. Our keynotes will be recorded, but broadcasting live the day of. And then we'll have a live, the live 2 hours in the middle of the conference is only available that day. So that will be, you know, the live portion of the event where you'll get to see and talk to people real time.
Yeah. And the software we're using for that's pretty cool. It allows you to organize by topics around products, around key industry trends, things like that. Different groups can jump in and sit at tables together, virtual tables together. So it's as close to IRL as you can get without actually being in the same place, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's huge, right? Like the biggest part of InstructureCon is the community element, I feel. Even though there's the sessions happening, they're still live, right? And you can sit next to colleagues and you get to hear their questions that they ask and ask your own questions. So that community space for those 2 hours where everybody can interact one with another, I think is going to be fantastic. What about, you know, questions that may arise during sessions that they're attending? Is there like a way they can participate or ask questions or see what other questions have been asked?
Sure. Yeah. So during the keynotes, we're going to have a discuss feature where people can leave their comments. There won't be any live Q&A, but we'll also be sure to post everyone's social information as well. So they'll be able to reach out to the presenter, say, post event and have an interaction with them if they want to about their presentation.
Yeah, like Jared and Trenton will be doing their presentations, but then they'll actually be in a building for the live sessions to talk to people and have some interaction there too. So our goal is to all of your favorite Canvas people, we want them sitting at tables talking to you and having conversations. And
virtual tables.
Virtual tables. Virtual tables. Inside virtual buildings. Inside.
Inside the Matrix.
So we talked about the live sessions. What about our friends that are living around the world?
Yeah, so they have the same opportunity as our friends in North America as well. So we will be broadcasting this globally, starting in Sydney at 10 a.m. Then we'll start in London at 10 a.m. And end here in Salt Lake City Mountain Time at 10 a.m. So we'll be running the full conference, even the live portion, in each one of those time zones.
Very cool.
Awesome. They didn't give us a TLDR podcast table. I feel like we have to
hang out for all of our fans. You're always welcome.
All of our fan
live broadcast.
That's a great idea, Ryan.
So what other cool things should our listeners know about coming into the conference? You know, anything that we didn't cover in our questions?
Yeah. So I think one of the most important things is obviously get registered now. We will be closing registration on October 9th to prepare for the live event on the 15th. We'll also be posting an event pre-event checklist and FAQs to make sure that everyone is able to access all of our systems. They can work through their browser issues or microphone or video issues. So they're fully prepared and can be super interactive during our event. We're also going to be opening a pre-event networking building within our virtual networking platform. So stay tuned for that. It'll allow you to come in and build your profile so everyone can see who you are for the conference. And just make that day of experience a lot smoother.
Awesome. Nice. And we'll post the link to the registration in the show notes down below as well. And like you said, that's open till October 9th, right?
Yep. October 9th at midnight, it will close.
Awesome. Getting close.
Get registered.
Thanks for joining us, Jackie.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great, Jackie. See you soon.
We'll see y'all at CanvasCon online.
Woohoo!
Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
That was a lot. We covered a lot in the show.
September podcast done. Thanks again.
And we want to remind everyone, join us at CanvasCon. Hopefully, we'll see you guys there. And then we can recap that in our next October podcast.
Yeah, when we see you there, we can give you a virtual high five.
Thank you for joining us on the Canvas TLDR podcast. If you'd like to take a look at what's happening in our next release, please visit releases.instructure.com, and we'll see you next month. Bye-bye.